Felicia. And thanks for your kindness. You don't know, I'll tell that story someday. Maybe later. But we're going to talk tonight a bit about some anger. We'll have a little fun with it. It's not a fun topic, but we'll try to have a bit of fun with it. But before I actually start with anger, I want to talk about when we start training, we learn about the so-called three poisons. Does everybody know that? The greed, hate, and delusion. Now, the hate part is what we're going to talk about today. Now, anger is a building block to hate. You can't really hate without anger. Anger starts in anger and builds up to hate. You can have anger without hate. We all know that. You can get angry at something, but not too much hate. But if we look at anger, we could help ourselves not to move into hate, which is not a place we really want to go, because hate causes a lot of suffering to ourselves and others. So another point I want to make before we start about greed, hate, anger, and delusion. Now, it's called the three poisons. And before we start training and we go with these things, they are actually kind of like poisons. They cause suffering, anger and hate. I always tell people, if you go too far with that, not only the external trouble you make, you kind of, for me, when I get into anger and it dissipates, I have a bad headache. The body doesn't really care for it. And it kind of makes you feel not well. So, but once we start training, we can take these three poisons, as they're called, and through our meditation, mindfulness, and stillness, we let them be converted with the love of the eternal. They're kind of washed like a cosmic washing machine through our meditation. And this love of the eternal, what Rav Mester Jiyu used to call the immaculacy of nothingness, it's just pure love. That's the answer of what we're trying to do for these things. So once we start training, we could take these poisons and use them to train with. In other words, when we start seeing them come up and we're training, ooh, I'm starting to get a bit too angry, I'm getting a bit greedy or in delusion, I'm not seeing things right, you can stop and say, okay, that can lead you back into the meditation or to the love of the eternal. Now, a mistake that a lot of people make at the beginning, and many people make later in their trainings, they start to hate the three poisons. They start coming up, oh, I'm angry again, I hate this stuff, and this and that. What that kind of happens just pours kerosene on the fire, and it makes it worse. You want to catch it, and then go back to your meditation, which is that pure love of the eternal. And an example came from me because I am one of those trainees that kind of would catch myself and be down on myself. I'm a bad trainee. I'm doing this again. How can I keep doing this? And so forth. And that was a kind of mistake. And what came up for me is a little story about poisons. All my life, I hated poison ivy. I got it as a kid, and we all know poison ivy is not fun. The whole thing, and tons of calamine lotion, the whole business. And all my life, I really hated it. But then, at the Priory, we were in touch with the homeopathic, naturopathic doctor, and I got a little illness. I mean, it was a sore throat at the time. And I called, he's called Dr. Todd, we made the doctor, I called him up and told him. He said, oh, he sent us down a little homeopathic medicine kit. And And he said, go to the kit, get the Roost Tox, and start taking X amount each day and so forth. And I was taking it, but he also sent a book that described what each thing was. So I said, well, let me look. I'm taking the Roost Tox. What is it? So I got the book, and I opened it up, and I read it. I said, holy mackerel, extract of poison ivy. And that kind of got me going. And that kind of got me thinking. A poison is a poison used in one area, but a poison in another area can be very helpful. And that's the thing with greed, hate, and delusion. As we start training, and we're human beings, greed, hate, and delusion is going to come up, just like the thoughts when we look at a wall. The thoughts come up, and you go back to the wall. You let them go. So you use greed, hate, and delusion to bring you back to your meditation. Same concept as formal meditation. Master Koshin calls it the ore, where you extract. That's his way of looking at it. So don't go in that direction of poison. Ooh. And that thing. I was there. That doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. And I'm not doing a lot of people go in that direction. Master says he's even seen some things get a bit delusional where people say they want to kill greed, hate, and delusion. And that's pretty off. So just when it comes up, anything like that, any breakage of precepts, you can bow and just go back to your training, back to your meditation anytime. Anytime. Even if you go with it, as why I'm talking about anger, unless I went back to some of my old habits last summer now, and as these things come and go, you don't, when you train and you, how to put this, you don't leave anger behind permanently or grief permanently. I was under a delusion at one point. There's a scripture that says, leap beyond all fear. And I envisioned it, and here's a big delusion, of leaping, you know, jumping and leaping on a fence and leaving the fear behind. But that's not what it means. Leaping beyond the control of you, loosening it up so that you can catch it, let it go, and go back to the training and meditation. That's the whole purpose of this. And the deeper purpose is to reunite with the eternal and find the cause of the suffering. And this is the beginning. These things, greed, hate, anger, and delusion, cause suffering and pain. We just have to pick up the newspaper or listen to the radio and see what greed, hate, and delusion in its coarser forms does. So each individual starts in our own ways with that kind of suffering. So this is the basic reason we're doing it. Basic reason of religion is to help. That's what it is. So that's a little preamble to this talk. In Thrasso, when I was there in 2000, I was staying in one of the monks from Reverend Alexander's room, who had a great book collection. I couldn't believe books that I'd never seen. And I started looking through them, and I found one of these books. The name of the book is Only a Great Rain by Master Xing Yong. And I've never seen it since, and no one's heard of it. That's the kind of collection that Reverend Alexander had. And in this book, Master Yong divides anger into three kinds of anger. I thought this was very perceptive, and I'm going to go over it a bit here. I myself am strong in I'll call it the second kind of anger, but I'll save it for third. And that's basically what I'm going to talk about, my particular koan or problem. I'm not the number one anger type, and I'm not the three, even though I've gone there and can still go there. You'll see what I mean when I start talking about this. The first kind of anger he talks about is sudden and unreasonable bursts of anger that seem to have no real cause, he says. Now, this is what I take to be real, what we call in Archer, real anger types. They're constantly getting angry all the time. The sun's not out and it's cloudy, they're angry. It's crowded on the bus, they're angry. All the time. Everything causes anger. This kind of condition is very painful for these people, as I've talked to people like this, and a lot of these people come to training. This has really helped them move into training. I myself am not this kind of person, and I have compassion for these kind of people very much, except, and I'll talk about this later in the talk, when the anger goes towards me. we'll get into that a bit later. But most of the time, and I've had friends I grew up with and people I know here on the West Coast, a lot of people are like that, and it's a rough way to go. It's a rough way to go. Just be real angry most of the time. It's difficult. And to these people, the training has really helped them. Well, I mind myself being a greed type, and I could talk about that. Greed and delusion is like the second part of this talk. We could do that another day. But greed has caused me a lot of trouble to being a greed. And that's not greedy. It's what I was called back east. One of the biggest extremists people know, and that's a greed type. Always going for Mr. G, you call it going for the gusto types. But the thing is, you do that, you're always getting in trouble. You're constantly in trouble all the time, and that's where I was most of my life until I started living. I'll talk about that one later. We're getting off. The other anger he calls here is argumentative anger. It's anger that is caused by hearing someone assert an opinion that is different from our own. I always met types like that, never understood it. Suddenly we have a conversation, I disagree, maybe I show them they're wrong. People go Looney Tunes. I never understood that until I started training. What you have here, I call it a bit of a delusional kind of anger. It's really, you take a lot of, what's the word, you make the self a reality. In other words, when you argument them, and of course with someone asserting an opinion that is different from them, or showing someone they're wrong, or something like that, it really causes, and that means that this body and mind, they're putting a lot of stock in this kind of existence that we all know is transient, but they've made it real. And this is the kind of way of the world. A lot of people like that. I've talked about self, and I'll talk about it more in delusion, because this is the big number one delusion, the delusion of self. It's become such a delusion in the world that there's actually a magazine now. Self. So someone told me in my last talk that there's a sister magazine for this now, where people put the thing to the body or the mind and improve your rear view, tone up your butt. I mean, everybody I know who trains, we've moved from this. This coarser thing of self, we've moved away from it. But I just wanted to show the coarser end of it. But there's a lot of subtle things about it. And this is one of the subtle. And this, I notice for people who have this, is difficult to move away from. And I've had to show people, you know, and bring up their mistakes sometimes. And I show them if they pass the altar and they bow and they look at so-and-so, you forgot to bow when you pass the altar. And suddenly they look up and they look at me like they're going to kill me. And that's what corrections do in a monk or training, when you start correcting. You forgot to do this, you didn't do that, and that's big in a temple. You get that kind of so and that's this kind of... No, it's this kind of anger we all got. Like I said, these two that I've talked about, yeah, I go there. I'm not big on them, but I go there. You could ask for Master Kosher when he comes up. I've been here with this one. I pointed my finger at him and got angry on this one a few times with him. But they're not my big thing. This last one is my big thing. Anger type 3. This has caused me personally a lot of pain and suffering. And it even came back last summer. Anger 3, and a lot, and talking around Great Britain in this talk I gave in 2000, a lot of people have this one, and this is strong. It's called reasonable anger. This is the one. Reasonable anger is felt towards someone who is behaving immorally or is deliberately trying to cause us trouble. Aha. This anger is big. I'm big, yeah, with this one. This one is big. We can't, I called it, and as I started training, I called this kind of anger self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. And then in one of the lay ministers, a lawyer in Great Britain, I forgot his name, he came up with a good name. It's called righteous indignation. I got it. Okay. How could you? Now, I've gone there with the type 1. The type 1, that sudden anger. Suddenly, they're coming at me. And I said, what are you doing? And my anger would well up. And before you know it, we have a rolling hot ball of anger. And the same one. If argumentative anger, suddenly I'm having a conversation and I show a person wrong and they go Looney Tunes, I said, what do you do? I go crazy. And before you know it, New York style, everybody's yelling at each other. But on a deeper level, I really had a problem with this, is anger and even a bit of hate to really perpetrator types. In other words, and I talked to my early sons and we were Mexico's like guards at the concentration camps, the SS guards, and I had this, well, it comes from something from the past for me, this anger and kind of hatred towards these types, the Nazis or Pol Pot in Cambodia or all these things. I said, these are, and I said to her Mexico, these are beyond the pale. These are, and he would say, everybody has the Buddha nature. They're just deluded. That's what he was telling me. You've got to keep your heart open all the time. My heart would actually close to these kind of people. And I had a big problem with that. And like I said earlier, if I get tight and angry, I kind of get sick. Headachy and the body would tighten up. And it was causing me suffering as I... anger does. And I sat with what Master Kosher was telling me in 1986. But the first, there was two big things that happened in 1986 and 87. Reverend Ando passed by the temple, and she says she found this prayer written in a concentration camp. She passed it on to Reverend Master Kosher and myself. And this was the first big turning point. Of course, and I'll read it, it was in our newsletter in 1987. I'll just read the prayer. This prayer was found by the body of a child in Revenbach concentration camp. And the child says, it was written, O Lord, remember not only the men and women of goodwill, but also those of ill will. But do not remember all the suffering they have inflicted on us. Remember the fruits we have bought. Thanks to this suffering, our comradeship, our loyalty, our humility, our courage, our generosity, the greatness of heart which has grown out of all this. And when they come to judgment, let all the fruits which we have borne be their forgiveness. I said, whoa. This is an attitude of someone right there. It is possible to have this attitude. And this was the beginning for me of this conversion of this. Not only that, as I started to train with, I saw how even if someone I'm training with and they got angry towards me, and if I got angry too, it just makes one big mess. It makes it worse. If I would be still and meditative and stay with the love of the eternal, which this young child had, and I didn't at the time, it would quiet the situation. Instead of pouring kerosene on the fire, the stillness, the meditation, the mindfulness pours water on the fire. The training. That is the answer to this. The eternal and meditation. Then a second big thing came up for me just a little while afterwards, that I got in 1988 another job, and I have permission to talk about. I talked to this person who's now a monk I'm going to talk about. And I got this job near this. We met on Wednesday nights at a lay minister's house in Seattle. And my new job was just 5 minutes from the house. Now, if I was to go home in North Seattle and come back, that would be most of my time. So I figured I 5 minutes from the house. I got out at 5, maybe get there, say 5:15. And I used to get to the house to help cleaning at 6:30 for a 7 o'clock meditation period. So I would get there a little early, feel relaxed. And so I went to the person, the lay minister, and they said, I expected, and we could talk about expectation, right? I expected, sure, no problem. And the lay minister said, I'll sit with it. Okay, so that anger number three is starting to bubble up. You know, reasonable anger, and I'm feeling something's a little not reasonable here. The next week, I come to the meeting. I say, have you sat with it? And the lay minister says, yeah, I sat with it. I think at that time I need my space. Whoa. At that point, the old me, I've been meditating now here since 83, it's 88, 5 years. And I really started working on this kind of anger in 86, so it's 2 years I'm working. At this point, the old me would have lost my temper. Would have lost it. I would have just... What do you mean? You need your space. I'm working down there. What am I going to do? Instead, I was still and quiet, which was very big for me at the time. And then I sat with it. And when I meditated with it, this anger was really welling up. And I got into these kind of, if you guys have these, you get into some delusional thought at the beginning. Oh, what's wrong with these people? Maybe everybody's like this in the order, and Rip Master Koshin, maybe he's a jerk too, and everything. I'm going packing my bags, and I'm going to New York, and this whole thing is off. And I said, quiet. Let me just keep sitting. And I kept sitting, and in the last of days, these thoughts kept coming up to pack my bags. There's a bunch of jerks here out west, and this and that. And it's unreasonable. That was the thing. And what happened was, finally said, just be still. Let it go. I was friendly for years with this lay minister. We got along. And so what happened was, I made a decision. I'm going to stick with it. So I got out of work 5:50. So I had an hour and 15 minutes. I went for a year and a half, I went to different places in Seattle. This was my eat-out night. I went for inexpensive meals, or I brought a sack lunch sometimes and walked on the waterfront. And this was some of my most enjoyable hour and 15 minutes. And the relationship stayed with the lay minister. I stayed with Reverend Master Koshin and just moved on. If I went with my initial kind of old habits, that reasonable anger that I thought would be unreasonable, I would cause suffering. Suffering to myself, suffering to the situation. I would just blew up and this and that. There are other stories I could tell between me and Reverend Master Koshin of this, but I ain't going to go much to hear. Some have heard some of them. This just didn't go away. Just one. Reverend Master Koshin said, Bert was my name. He said, You come down to the I said, I'd like to live at the Priory, move down from Seattle. And he said, sure, move down. And at one point he said, I'll sit with it. He said the same thing. And at one point he said, come on down. I said, what are the stipulations? He said, don't worry, just observe the precepts. You get a job, you live down there. So he walks by. I was living in this trailer, in Scholastica's trailer. And he walks by and I'm watching some TV. And he knocks on the door and he says, I don't want you watching TV anymore. Pack up the TV, put it in the closet. I said, oh, okay, okay. Then he saw me reading the newspaper, and he knocked on the trailer door, and he said, I don't want you to read no more newspapers, no magazines. I mumbled. Then finally, well, I was listening to the radio. This was my thing. I was listening to public radio, and he says, pack up the radio. And then, and I got angry. And I said, remember, Mr. Cool, you told me, and I pointed my finger, New York style. I said, you told me, I come in, you said nothing about no TV, no radio, no newspapers. And I was really angry. And he looked me in the eye, and he said, that was then, and this is now. So again, right there, I had to make a decision. Again. Again, I could have been angry and say, the heck with this Priory, the heck with you, and I want my radio, TV, and newspaper, and everything, and to the left. But I stayed. I knew there was something. I was big time suffering in New York. The anger is only part of it. I had many ways. And I came out west to find the answer of it. Like I said, I was a big greed type, so this is one of the times the greed helped me. And I stuck with it. I stuck with it at the time. So that was one story. I got a litany of stories. we'll stick with that. So then there was a few other small things, not so small, that this problem that I had, Shakyamuni Buddha addressed this. It must have been around, definitely it was around thousands of years ago, because he addressed this in his last teaching to his monks. And I just want to quote it. This is what Shakyamuni Buddha says. And this is some of the great, when I read this, when this book came out, I don't know what year that was, this is Monastic Office. I think it's out of print now, but it came out in 93. So I said, I'm not the only one. Shakyamuni addressed this kind of anger. So he says, oh, you monks, if someone should come to dismember your every joint, you should pacify your heart. Oh, I got this problem too. And no one's come to dismember my joint, but people have told me not to listen to the radio. not glare angrily or hatefully at the person. Guard your mouth. It's like talking to me here. And refrain from spouting hot words of hate. Whoa, Shakyamuni. This is where he gets to the point, Shakyamuni. He says, if you indulge in a raging or resentful heart, then you make yourself an obstacle in your own path. Some great teaching right here by our founder, Shakyamuni. And lose the benefits of your merits and virtue. That's the truth. If I angry and go off in a huff, all my training for the time until I can do a Sangha conversion and come back, I lose it for that moment. You never lose firmly. Forbear for virtue's sake and keep to the precepts. Precepts. If you act in this way, you reach what seems impossible. He's right. It seems impossible to break from the things that are very sticky like this. At times it seems impossible. But again, the training, the meditation, the mindfulness, the keeping of the precepts works at it. Where this is not a fast fix. This takes time. These things are very sticky to unglue yourself and to move into these deep grooves that kind of form. So the key word here that I want to tell everybody that's not one of my virtues is patience. Have patience for yourself and compassion for yourself and others. Keep those things going. Master Jiyu also addresses this, and another fine teacher thousands of years down the road. In this book, Serene Reflection Meditation, that's now on the internet on Shasta Abbey's website. And great. And North Cascade, we have it, and Pamela has. This has Reverend Master's commentary on a precept. And she comes out with something similar to Shakyamuni right there. She says, no matter how angry the person is who is with us, we may see in him to the Lord if we are truly looking. Everybody, everything has the Buddha nature. This is the bottom line. No separate, like I was delusional thought. Nazi gods didn't have it. There's all no. And as we asked questions, this is big thinking in Western, the good, the bad, this is sinner and saint. This is not the Buddhist teaching. Everybody is of the eternal. Everyone has the Buddha nature. It just gets covered up with delusion. That's all. Anyone can do a conversion at any time. They still got to pay the consequences of their karma. Like, I could have a conversion. Let's say I get angry at someone. This has happened last summer. And I apologize. You know, I catch myself saying sorry. But I pay the consequences with a headache. And maybe things are not as good as they were before. I lost the temper and so forth. So there are always and to accept the consequences. Okay, made a mistake. And accept the consequences. Keep going. Don't go down on yourself. And come down on yourself or anybody else. No matter, we may see in him to the Lord if we are truly looking. If our own ego is out of the way, ego, if our own ego is out of the way, and in seeing the Lord in him, he can see the Lord in us. That's great teaching, because it's happened to me on many occasions. By being still and quiet and not coming back at that person, it happened with the Seattle, with the lay minister. It wasn't really angry at me, it just was going. I found out later he was going through a rough time at that point. The person was making a decision to be a monk or not and needed the space. I found out at a later date. So. And the person became a monk, and it's a very fine monk now. This is in the 80s. But again, if I made that thing, I could have made a big mess. I could have hurt his training and my training, as I used to do in New York. Just blow up and leave a whole wake of mess city. And that's the way I was. I had a fast temper. And then Reverend Master Jiyu ends it here. She says, the depth of the ocean is still, even when there is this great storm upon its surface. No matter how angry you or the person are, the eternal is always there. The stillness, the immaculacy of nothingness is always there, and we can always go there. Take a quick breath, this is what I do sometimes, and be still for 5 seconds, 2 seconds. Makes a world of difference. Before you blow up, before you get greedy and eat the whole cheesecake, there may be just a slice is enough. Something or delusional thought like I had, like I talked about earlier. Then we should be knowing that nothing whatsoever can touch the truth. Nothing whatsoever can hurt the eternal. The eternal is always there with that love, no matter what happened. Hitler, Idi Amin, or not being able to watch the TV, or your boss and your job. A lot of this comes up in work situations, in family situations, and in temples in close quarters, like it did for me in the summertime.
guys who ever masturbate take it on. This all happens when you get people in tight situations. People say, and I've heard a monk say, I can't take communal life anymore. I was ready to leave the gate at some point. And I've heard people say, I can't take this job anymore. Oh, my family. It's all these things come up. This is the time to use the meditation, the active meditation. The sitting at the wall is the help to bring into our daily life. The meditation. Bring that love of the eternal, to well it up. To bring, just to be still, mindful, quiet. Keep the precepts in mind. And know, because when we break the precepts, it's not a morality thing. What happens is it's a thing that causes suffering. I go through every precept and this causes suffering, especially to ourselves. Pride, and talking about others, or killing, or an anger, as we're talking about today. They all cause suffering. And Rebbe Master Jia, with her beautiful commentary, did wonders for me, because she took it away from the morality angle and she brought it to the religious angle. In other words, you don't want to be angry because you're going to get, excuse me, for struck down by lightning or something like that. You're not angry because it makes the situation a suffering situation. A situation that goes sour, as per se. It's that. But if you meditate and be still and let that flow, is helpful to you and, as Rebbe Master Jia says, the other person. And I've seen it. I've seen this work. This works for myself. I've seen it work for others. It's worked for thousands of years. This whole training and meditation and stillness and mindfulness. It's something, believe me, I've tried all the other stuff. For some of the coarser stuff and anywhere stuff in between. That tried for this kind of suffering. I was kind of lost in space. Life just didn't have purpose for me. And I tried things. And that's what it's all about. Trying things. There's people that could go in, let's say, cancer research or all the research. They could spend years and years and years of trying things that don't work. But that's a big thing. Because they've eliminated a bunch of things. So that's what we kind of do. In this lifetime and lifetimes, we go through things and things, but eventually, as I did in Miami Beach, I put up my hands and I yelled for help. One boy that was up all night with all kinds of inebriated kind of stuff, and it was 6 in the morning, I was feeling like living death. And I just walked in on a beach, and I yelled at the top of my lungs for help. And as we know, all sincere calls of help are answered. As we all know, we're all doing this. At some point, in some level, we've all asked for help. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing this. And again, to the first thing I was talking about, that's the stuff that brought us to this. That stuff that caused us the most suffering brought us to this. So don't hate it. And don't try to kill it. Just have the same love of it. What I do now, and I see some of this stuff come up, I do a little gassho, and I say, thanks, but no thanks. And I do a little bow. During one of my retreats, I had to do that. I was just on a recent retreat a few months ago. I was permeated by stuff. And I found out a lot of this stuff was thoughts that were coming up from different feelings from the past. And the thoughts go with the feelings. I was just permeated with this kind of negativity stuff. But I was trying to catch it almost all the time. I was thanks, but no thanks. At least half the retreat was spent like this. And that really helped, just catching it. And that's what we do when we sit facing the wall. We catch our thoughts and go back to the wall. Go back to the immaculacy of nothingness. That love. When we sit there and finally the thoughts dissipate, even for just sometimes some meditation periods, 0.2 2/10 of a second. Sometimes my mind is racing for some meditation periods. It's that time to be able to go back. And that's what we can do during the day. Go back to that place of meditation, that place of pure love. That's what meditation is, the gateway into that. It's just not a form, it's just a way in to have, and that's what helps. That really helps. Good. Well, maybe I'll end it there. Remington, do you have anything to add? I hope every Master Mason has a great perspective.